Welcome back to the Travis Jones Show. We have another great episode for you today. This is part two of the 23 things I wish I knew before I opened 20 gyms. Last week was a ripper of an episode with Liv. Welcome, Liv.
Thank you, Travis.
It was a ripper. And we went through the first 11 things, and today we're going through the next 12. Guys, if you haven't listened to that, go over there and tune in. Today we are going through the back end of this, the 12 things, or the back end of the 23 things. Before we get started, guys, if you want to grow your fitness business by 30 clients guaranteed, jump over to fitproformula.com, jump on a call, we'll help map it out for you. And if anything, you walk away from the call with knowing exactly how to get those 30 clients. And if you want to work with us, we can also do that as well. So that's fitproformula.com. But to start with today,
but also you get to chat to us like once a week.
Yeah, you do. You get to chat to us.
You get to banter. Which is get always this live and unfiltered.
I don't know how filtered this is anyway. But guys, we're going through that today. So make sure you strap in. We are having a fantastic episode. As normal, we have myself, Travis Jones, and Olivia Jones here. So with this team, number 12, really, it's not the first one, but number 12 is you're going to fill up your pipeline with leads every single month. You're going to fill them up with trials, paid trials, whether they do paid trials, referrals, free trials. You know, you need to get 20 new faces into your business every single month, and you want to aim to change their life as best as you possibly can. And if you do the trial properly, a minimum of 50% of them will stay, and 50% of them won't stay. If you're fantastic with your member experience, you know, 60-70 5% of them will stay. And that's a reflection. What are you laughing at?
The 50-50. 50% will stay. 50% will not stay.
Well, if you're great, it's going to be a 60-40, right? It comes down to, one, your experience, how you map out that experience with them as well. But you want 20 new faces into your business every single month. I think if you can't do that, then we need to work on the pipeline of coming in. If we're looking at a facility that wants to get to about 200 members, you need a minimum of 20 new faces into your business every single month. It's going to be, you know, if we're doing 11 months of the year, it's like 220 new faces. If you are keeping 50% of them, well, we're only going to have 110 faces in your gym. So we really have to look at your goal and reverse engineer your goal to actually understand, okay, cool, how many faces do I need? But 20 is really the bare minimum, I think, for most gyms. If you want to, you know, be around that 140 member mark, for sure, you know, 20 is going to go well. If you want to be around that 200 member mark, fill up the faces. Make sure you get like 30 people in every single month. If your lifetime value of your client is, you know, 52 to 55 weeks, and you're keeping 50% on, then you're going to have closer to the 180 members. You're going to go closer to that 200 member mark. But this is crucial. If you don't have the strategies to fill up your business every single month, again, whether it be outreach, whether it be paid trials with direct response marketing, with social media, whether it be referrals coming in, whether it be coming from a Facebook group that we've talked about, whether it be coming off your email list that we've talked about, whether it be coming off your Instagram from organic, whatever you do, you need to not worry about hope. It's not hoping they'll come in. This is not Field of Dreams, and you are not Kevin Costner. You can't build it and they will come. You need to have a plan that gets a minimum of 20 people into your gym every single month. I think this is the biggest thing that, you know, I focused on growing the gyms, and that we focused on growing the other gyms after the fact. So, you know, Liv, do you want to elaborate on this?
Well, I just think everyone needs to, I think this is something that some people struggle with, because they don't like the idea of having to ask people, or this idea that people don't just want to rock up. You know, that I should just be able to survive off referrals. Referrals means that I have amazing business and that people just want people to come along. And I think the problem with that is it's very short-sighted, and it's very ego-focused rather than business growth-focused. And I think for everyone who's been at this game for quite a long time, you realize you also get tired and you want some sleep-ins. So ideally, you really want to be looking at this as critical for your business growth, in order for you to be able to hire people, for you to be able to offload some of your sessions, or for you to be able to do higher level tasks, you know, which we've talked about before. You need to be able to having people coming into the gym that aren't going, I want to train with Travis Jones, and if I'm not training with Travis Jones, then I'm not training. Like, you want to be able to build a business, and this is critical for building a business, that you are not the linchpin in. And I don't think anyone long term wants to be the linchpin in their business.
They don't. I think, you know, there's two camps, right? There's the people who go, you know, it's, you know, it's okay. You can validate yourself, but it is slightly ego-driven. It's like, I shouldn't have to market because I am good at what I do and people should just come to me. And over the years, like, I've talked to a fair few business owners like that, you know, invested themselves so much in their education that they believe they are above marketing. I don't think any business, you know, if you really want, you know, to actually have projected growth and cash flow, is above marketing.
You
know,
no.
You need reliable consistency of members coming through the door. And then there's the other camp who essentially just only relies on paid marketing, yeah, and they don't do the other stuff, which is, hey,
also a fault. You
know, yeah, exactly. It's another fault, right? It's like, I don't do the referrals. I don't do the outreach. I don't do the ambassadors. I don't do the Facebook group. Because there is times when Facebook ads or Instagram ads or direct response marketing, the shit hits the fan. So you need to have your pipeline to get your 20 people into your business as a bare minimum every single month to come in, to trial you, to then convert to a long-term member. Because the reason why I say trial as well, guys, before we delve too much into this as well, we need to have people coming to trial your business. You're not just going to sell them onto 12-month packages off the bat. And if you are marketing that, I would definitely recommend that you go into more of a trial base. Because if you're not doing it and you're marketing 12-month packages,
or just general shit,
yeah,
you're, join my gym,
yeah, your cost per lead is going to be, you know, not the best, and it's like,
and your cost per acquisition.
Yeah, the cost per acquisition, but you're asking to marry someone on the first date. And, you know, for me, I don't like to marry someone on the first date. You might know that.
Probably
you want to marry. I knew I wanted to marry Liv, but I didn't tell her that because it would have creeped her out. Like, no one wants to marry on the first date, and that's why we do a paid trial, especially right now. They're comparing apples to apples. The market is in a different place than it was, you know, 7 years ago, 10 years ago. You know, there wasn't the same awareness in the marketplace. It was like, oh, I'm going to join a general gym, or I'm going to join, you know, a functional training gym, or like a group training semi-private experience. But there wasn't as many out there. Now, you know,
on every corner,
there's a group training experience or a semi-private experience. You might say, hey, I'm different. But to the general consumer, you aren't different. So they're comparing the apple to the apple. So for yourself, to get people to come in and try you, to show you that you're different, that's why we do a paid trial. And I think for yourself, don't go too far on one side, which is just paid marketing. Don't go too far on the other side, which is just word of mouth marketing. Hit the sweet spot in the middle. I understand you have systems on paid marketing. I understand you have systems on referrals, outreach, ambassadors. And if you do that and you hit that sweet spot, then you definitely will get 20 plus new faces into your business. And if you're not keeping 50% of them to stay on, then that is the next conversation, but that is not this podcast.
No, but that it is really important for everyone to understand that we do advocate the organic methods because they are critical for community and culture and the vibe in the gym. So if you've got great ambassadors, you're getting lots of referrals, you're building that positive culture that you love from the members that you love. So all in all, it comes together for a great package for the paid clients, the paid trials, to really enjoy the experience because they feel like they're walking into that community that everybody is looking for in a gym. It's why, you know, the group training, you would argue, has had such a boon, is because people want that community. They want that accountability. They want that, you know, fitness-minded group of people to spend time with.
Yeah, I think people also, like, they want to be part of a tribe, right? Like, tribes have dissipated and people want to feel like they're a part of something bigger than just them and their trainer or them in the 24-hour gym. So I think, you know, that's a great avenue. This is number 13. Well, never stop learning. You know, you're on this podcast and hopefully you learn something. But guys, you need to never stop learning on how to get better results with your clients, on how to get better marketing, how to get better at sales, and how to get better at your operations, your leadership. You want to be an avid learner. You need to put 30 minutes aside every single day. And I think that would be the bare minimum, 30 minutes every day to put new knowledge into that brain of yours, you know, that's, you know, 7 inches or whatever it is. It's not 7 inches, my head. Maybe your brain is 7 inches. Well, who knows? But, you know, with this, you want to put information 30 minutes a day, and then you want to categorize that information, taking notes, and then you want to put it into action where you can. I think that's so crucial. It's not just consumption of information. It's implementation of that information that matters. You know, you want to look at your business you know, there's a wheel of life, right? When you're looking at the personal development crowd, you know, we look at, bless you, Olivia. When you look at yourself, your financial aspect, you know, your personal growth, your spiritual aspect, you know, there's a whole wheel of life. You can Google that and you can see what it is. You rate yourself 1 to 10 in the different areas of your life. And then you can go from that reflection of rating yourself, you go, okay, where do I need to go to increase or expand my wheel out so it can be an even wheel and I can continue to grow in each of the areas of my personal development. The same goes with your business. And if you aren't reflecting on your business on a 90-day cycle and going, you know, where is my marketing 1 to 10? Am I getting 20 plus new leads every single month on autopilot, reliable and consistency? No, then you probably ran a 4 or 5. We need to get that up to 8 or 9. If you aren't converting people into a high ticket offer around $2,000, then okay, cool, you can rate yourself on sales. If your management systems aren't in place and you aren't moving your business forward and optimizing it, okay, rate yourself. If you don't have your operations down point, okay, rate yourself. Rate yourself on your cash flow. What's going on with your cash flow? Rate yourself on your leadership and your customer experience. So we've got like these 7 factors that you could possibly be learning around for your business, and then you rate yourself around them, and then you go, you know what, on the next 90 days, I'm going to move the needle forward on my customer experience, or I'm going to move the needle forward on my marketing. You're going to do a course, you're going to read 3 books, and that's where you're going to spend really 30 minutes a day. And also with your results with your clients, I think that's another crucial thing as well. If you aren't getting results with your clients, that's your other learning aspect, which obviously comes down to member experience. So 30 minutes a day seems so small, yet we still don't do it, a lot of us. So I think for you, if you aren't having that constant and never-ending learning mentality, and you have that fixed mindset, like you need to shift to a growth mindset and truly understand that, you know, you need to keep moving forward, because if not, your competition is going to be moving past you.
I completely agree. And I think everyone needs to understand that there are ebbs and flows in the amount of time you can dedicate to learning. But I think it's the habit for learning that is the key here. It's a little bit like what you would say to someone who's a bit time poor with the gym. Just make a commitment to, you know, coming on to 2 sessions rather than 4. Like, it's the habit that you're instituting into your day. And I think that's something that everyone can do, you know, if it is read 10 pages, you know, a day. If it is read 5 pages a day to start with. If it's to listen to your podcast on the way to something else. It's looking for ways to fit it in if you know you're going to commit to, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is of learning, be it audible or whatever, you can always find a way to do it. It's just committing to yourself that you're going to, committing to the avenue that you're going to do it. And then if that you miss up on that, like you slip up on that, how else can you do that? You know, do you stay up 20 minutes later? Do you watch Netflix 20 minutes later? Whatever it is, just make sure that you commit to that really small micro commitment. And then like anything, it's a bit like the cold showers. No one jumps into the cold showers for the first time for 5 minutes and goes, wow, that was brilliant. Like they've got to work their way up to, you know, 1 minute and then the next week 2 minutes. And I think it's the same thing with anything that's a new habit and probably something a little bit hard. You know, for a lot of people, that it's a form of not self-love, but you're looking for self-development. And a lot of people struggle when they're really busy or they're in the thick of it, or like 2020 has just smacked the fitness industry around its head. It's very hard for you to sit back and go, oh, I'm just going to take 30 minutes to read a book. But this is basically us giving you permission to go do that rather than, you know,
Netflix and chill.
Netflix and chill.
Well, you can do the chill part, just maybe not the Netflix.
Well, I only just learned what that meant. I thought it was actually chilling.
Yeah, you chill after. But when we look at this, guys, when you are taking notes, you want to categorize it across those 7 different categories that I talked after. If you're reading a book, you know, write notes, put it on a note card system.
I love the note card system.
And you have the 7 categories, and then you just keep putting note cards in the categories every single day. And all of a sudden, after the year, you have like 30 note cards on sales, 30 note cards on marketing.
It's so much easier to refer to. You never remember everything.
No, it's like pulling it from like a Rolodex.
So cool.
And you have all these ideas just on your desk, and you can have these the same as your pillars for your content education. And this is the next part we're going to be talking about, which is number 14. To contribute daily to your marketplace, you must learn daily. When you're stuck with how to provide value, but it's because you stop learning. And I think, you know, 13 and 14 are so very similar because one comes into the next. You need to be continually learning on your craft. I understand the four pillars of your business. So, you know, in the fitness industry, I think there's, you know, four key pillars. You know, there's mindset, and under mindset, I sort of have sub pillars, which is willpower, habit formation, discipline, and that's really our, and, you know, the belief structures or value structures that someone has within themselves. So I think those are the sub pillars on that content creation. Then we look at nutrition, understanding the sub pillars under that being, you know, calories and macros and looking at portion control and things like that, and reverse dieting. You've got sub pillars that you can create content around. Then we look at the training aspect under your, understanding your training philosophies and the sub pillars under that. Then we have, you know, lifestyle management, and I normally put lifestyle management under stress, sleep, environmental factors. So
motivation. Yeah,
that's a cross on day one.
Oh,
jeez. Sometimes Liv doesn't even listen to me talking while she's on a podcast with me. But with these guys, you have these four top end pillars, and then you have your sub pillars below that. And then we need to start learning across that. So if it's, you know, on Mondays, if it's you're looking at that motivation, you're looking at that mindset, and you want to go on willpower, go grab the book, The Willpower Instinct, start reading. And you have a Rolodex worth of notes under this, and you can start creating that Rolodex of notes around, you know, pillar one, and you can grab it under the sub text, and it's like, great, this is willpower, great, this is habit formation, you know, read Atomic Habits, you know, read the Power of Habit. Like, you're going to start grabbing books, start acquiring information, start writing note cards, and because you never stop learning, it's never hard to actually contribute to your marketplace. And you have to contribute to your marketplace every single day. You want to be the most preeminent, you know, go listen to the podcast we did on preeminence. You want to be the most preeminent person in your marketplace, helping them before they even pay you. You're going to be top of mind awareness, you know, you're going to be easy to be able to do that content into your Facebook group, into your email list, to be able to help your members even further. People trust you, they like you, they love you. And I think if you're not doing this, you know, if you're not contributing daily, then your members will start to see someone else contributing you more, and they can be more preeminent in the person's mind, essentially, and they will surpass you, and you'll start to lose your members to someone else.
I completely agree. I think we talked a little bit about this the other day, where it's because people struggle because they haven't identified exactly who they help all the time, or where they're nervous because they think someone else might call them out on saying the wrong thing or perhaps not being as educated as someone else. But I think if you're coming from a place not of trying to be right but of trying to help, then you're more willing to go, okay, I understand that not everyone is going to agree with me and not everyone ever will agree with you. And I think we mentioned that early on in RBT, it was all about paleo, and that was the platform, and that's what we talked about. That's what it was all about. But ultimately now it's completely changed. So I think it's just understanding that you evolve, the business evolves, and you're entitled to that. And you're entitled to continue to educate and want to empower people to make great choices. And now with all the different platforms and whatever, it's a lot easier to talk about macros and things like that for people to empower themselves with long-term lifestyle decisions. So I think if you look at it rather than a finite idea, it's looking at it and going, this is what I believe right now, and I want to share my beliefs because I want to help someone out there, rather than looking at it as I'm going to be held up, you know, and called into question for whatever I say. So rather than, I suppose, hiding, just try and help.
I think that's a good segue into the next point, which would be point 15, which is never be satisfied with the execution. You want to aim always to improve quarterly, and you want to sort of start pushing your business forward. You want to look at your marketing efforts, your sales efforts, your leadership, your customer experience, and making these better every single month. And I think, you know, with that, you know, you talk about RBT evolving over the years, it's because of the, you reflect, you go, what are we doing right now? What are the results we're currently getting with our clients? How can we get better results? How can we evolve our nutrition philosophies? How can we evolve our training philosophies? How can we evolve our, you know, touch points with our members, you know, using Keystone.fit? Mm-hmm. How can we do all the nuances on a quarterly basis to move the needle forward in the different areas of our business? And when we're looking at moving the needle forward, you have to identify. So the first step is awareness. It's going, where do I want to work on over the next, you know, essentially 13 weeks, over the next 12 to 13 weeks for the quarter. Now, if I go, okay, I want to move my nutrition experience inside the gym from A to B, and then you have to write down, what are all the things that need to happen then? Well, I need to create my nutrition philosophy, which is, okay, I'm going to go into a flexible dieting approach, for example. Okay, from that, what do I need to do? Well, I need to create, you know, 5 to 6 videos. Okay, how to work out your calories, how to work out your protein intake, you know, fat intake. I need to make it a simplified manner for members. Maybe I can give them a meal plan to get them started. So I need to create a meal plan. I need to give them, you know, some types of meals in the mornings for 300 to 400 calories. So some lunch, some dinner, some snacks. Okay, great. Now, how would I track that? Well, I might do weekly check-ins, or I might check a training software. Okay, that's what I would do. How would I make sure they're losing weight based on the macros? Well, I'd weigh them every 2 weeks, or I'd weigh them daily so I can see the 7-day average. So what we're doing is, you've got a big goal, and then you've broken it down into, you know, probably about 13 different checkpoints on what you would need to do to move this big goal forward. And then what you want to do is, from that, you want to prioritize all the things you need to do. Okay, this must done. You put it, give deadlines to it. This must done on the first 7 days. Next week 2, week 3, week 4, and now all of a sudden you know exactly what you need to do every week for the next 12 weeks to move the needle forward in that area of your business to optimize that experience. And great, you know, in 3 months, nutrition is done. And there we go. Now let's look at our training philosophy, or now let's look at our marketing philosophy. And you don't have to do everything overnight. You know, optimization of a business happens over time, not overnight. And you just pick one or two things you want to optimize every single quarter, and you just start. You never be satisfied with the current execution. I think that is one of the most crucial things. You know, you want to always be improving your business. You want to always be pushing yourself forward. You always want to be upping your service delivery. And I think that is one of the most crucial things in business.
And I think it leads so well into the next point as well, where, you know, the next one is about creating systems and the information into documentation. And, you know, you'll read the whole thing out. But I think it ties in really nicely, because the numbers will tell you whether or not the customer experience is good enough. And we talked at the very beginning of this part two about the 50% that will stay. And if you're not tracking those numbers, you don't know. If you're not tracking the members that have come in, you don't know. If you're not tracking the conversion from the paid trial into the ongoing, if you're not aware of how much people are paying you, the average customer lifetime value, if you don't know any of these numbers, if you don't know how many referrals you get on average a month, if you don't know any of this, then how do you improve anything? You're just improving something because you think that it's a good idea, when really you should be looking at what the business is telling you need to focus on. Because if you're only retaining 10%, it really doesn't matter what you do. You need to look at that paid trial experience, or you need to look at why you're not getting more than, you know, 10 referrals a month. Then you need to look at the things that the business is telling you to focus on, because if you don't know where you're going, then you're never going to get there. You're just going to keep walking endlessly, and you're on a treadmill to nowhere, and that's not fun for anyone. It's exhausting, and that's where burnout, I think, happens, because you just feel like you're constantly on a hamster wheel and you don't really know why you're doing it anymore. You just feel like you're busy, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, data never lies, right? Data doesn't have emotions. Data just tells you the truth, but then every single data point has a story. So if you understand the stories that the data tells you, then we can start to optimize a business. So when we're looking at this, or systemize a business, yeah. You know, when we're looking at this, like, this is point 16, it's create systems, get the information out of your head, put it in documents, create flow charts on how business performs and achieves its metrics, and then have it clearly laid out that someone could read it and know how to deploy the task even if you weren't there. And I think that is such a crucial thing for us to do. If we can go, if you can do this, even if I'm not here, that's how your systems need to be laid out. So when we're looking at, guys, you know, how do I lay it out? You want to create a flow chart of what happens inside the experience within your members, you know, when they're onboarding. What is the onboarding experience? And put it on a flow chart. Well, you know, prior to onboarding, they come through a lead avenue. What's the lead avenue? Okay, maybe they came through a referral. Great, they got referred for a client. You came into your email inbox. From the email inbox, what happens? What's the first email? That should be a structured email. They get booked into a consult or a mini seminar. What's the structure of the mini seminar? Is there slides? After that, how do you get them onto your software? How do you get them to booking? Okay, that's mapped out. This email gets sent out now. Where does the first body fat come in? How do they get their nutrition plan delivered? If they turn up to a session, what's the first, you know, 7 days or 14 days of emails? Bang, bang, bang.
I think you just, like, it's all about certainty, you know, for the staff, for potential staff, but also for the member, that they feel as though there's structure, certainty, and, you know, almost in an archaic sense, professionalism. You know, people want to feel like you have your shit sorted. They don't want to feel like they're being shoved into a session and no one really knows what's going on.
No, again, guys, like flowcharts are the easiest thing for you to start with. Like, I'm a very visual person. Mm. So creating a flowchart, you know, put the, you know, the 12 points that happens over the first, you know, like 28 days.
Adventure. Yes and or no. Exactly. Do they do this? Then they do this.
Well, exactly. And then under the flowchart, that's when you have that you can elaborate on the point. It's like, okay, this happens. This is the Google Doc that's attached to it. And then you can have it live. You can do a video over it for your staff to understand it as well. And then anyone can take that flowchart and run a 28-day experience or run a 16-week experience or run a, you know, onboarding for nutrition planning. So you have like this document or, you know, a Google Drive with all your systems in place where someone can click on it, know how to coach a client, click on it, know how to hold a session, click on it, know how to do the programming for your
click
clientele.
Click on it, know how to process a refund. Like it's, exactly. You know, it doesn't always have to be high level tasks as well. It can be the sort of tasks that you outsource very early on in some of the, you know, for people in business where they're just looking to get rid of some of those, you know, tasks that just take a little bit too much time but don't necessarily need a high skill set. And they're often the ones that there is no system and no rules for because people just do them. And they're the ones you should probably start doing first.
Oh, exactly. I think, so create systems, put time for systems. If you don't have systems, you've got to get them out of your head and you need to start moving forward. Now, the next one is number 17, right? Stop thinking you'll be happy when you achieve a certain revenue number. Happiness is not in the member number you achieve or not in the financial number you achieve. You know, you want to remember why you started the business, and happiness comes in the daily journey of becoming your best self. And I think that's such a crucial thing. You know, I had a mentor, you know, Dan Sullivan, a while ago, and the thing that stuck the most out to me is your fulfillments. You don't want to get trapped in the void of unfulfillment. And we talked about last week's podcast how this happened to me. And you're chasing the sunset. And if you're running towards the sunset, you'll keep shifting, right? So you're running across the ocean. So you just pretend you can walk on water right now if that's where your sunset is going down. You're running, you're running, you're running, you're running. And it will keep moving away from you because you never actually can catch it, right? And that's just like putting your happiness on a certain goal as far as revenue or a certain goal as number of members or a number of gyms. Because what happens before you get to that goal, for someone with an achievement-based personality, they will shift the goal further and they'll shift the goal further, and the goalposts just keep shifting and shifting and shifting. And because they keep shifting and you never actually achieve the goal that you set in the first place, you never actually feel that sense of fulfillment, that sense of happiness, and it leads you down a dark path of just not being happy with yourself. And you're like, why am I doing it? I can never win. And in reality, if you are winning, you just put yourself in this trap or this void of unfulfillment. And instead, you need to, yes, always look forward and set goals. But every 90 days, you look back over your shoulder, you look at how far you've come, you pat yourself on the back, and then you head forward again. But you need to actually give yourself time to pat yourself on the back. It might not even be going forward on a member number each quarter. You know, you should be, but it might be sometimes on a systems side of things. It might be sometimes on a personal side of things, you know, getting time back. Like there's so many different ways to move forward. You need to actually appreciate and be happy every day, because shit, like, you know, like our problems aren't real problems. And you know, I can say that, you know, with some empathy, because I understand that your problems must be big and everyone's problems has problems. But you know, if you're listening to this and your biggest problems are, I need some members in my gym, well, it's a problem that we can at least fix. And I think that's what you have to understand, because everything is perspective. We have to gain that perspective. We have to gain that curiosity to overcome these problems, because with curiosity, that means like, how can I fix it? It's not like, well, woe is me, this is what I have. It's like, okay, this is what I got. How can I get over it? How can I learn from it? How can I keep moving forward? And I think that goes into the next one, which, Liv, do you want to expand on that?
Well, I think I talked a lot about it on the last podcast and what I think, but I really believe in the idea that you have to understand there's not one way to achieve anything. And for some people, that's an innate belief structure. They don't believe that anything can be finite. And so it's very difficult sometimes to understand why someone could only see it as one thing being successful or only one way to achieve something. So, you know, it's a very you know, traditional concept, but sometimes it is mind mapping and it's understanding and going back to your why. It's going back to the goal. It's setting goals and understanding that you want to achieve that, and then going, why do I want to achieve this? And how could I achieve this? And if before you even start, you've mapped out 3, 4, 5, 10 different ways of doing it, and that's obviously, again, where you're looking at things like, if it was your problem was members, and you were saying, okay, I need to get 50 members. Okay, great. Are you going to get all 50 from Facebook ads? Are you going to get, you know, 10 here, 10 over there, 10 from referrals, 10 from walking the streets, 10 from family and friends who can train for free and refer people? Like, all these sort of things that you have, you know, at your disposal. I think sometimes people underestimate the value of the various tools. And if you're using a hammer to drill a screw, of course the hammer's not going to work. It doesn't mean it's a shit hammer. It just means you didn't use it well. So sometimes you've got to look at all the different options and then also, as you said, reflect and go, well, why didn't this work? And again, if you're not tracking, if there's no systems, if you don't have visibility on what you did and how you did it, you're not going to understand that the hammer didn't work because you were doing it with a screw. So it's always bringing all of these points together.
Your bastardizing a quote right now.
What?
I think you're bastardizing a quote.
Oh, I don't know, but whatever. You get the idea, don't you, mate? Like, use a drill.
But I think it's like, if the only tool you have in your toolbox is a hammer, then you'll see everything as a nail.
Oh, well, like, see, that's just, but that's philosophical. This is about utilizing what you have available. And I just want everyone to consider, before you start something, be aware of all the different avenues. So if you find yourself going, oh, this can't work, or this is broken, or this won't work, I want you to then go back to the original list that you had of all the different ways you could do something and go and try one of the other things, because you haven't actually tried everything.
Yeah, just go back to your tool belt. Go get another tool. Start using it. Exactly. Go get a drill.
Cow drill. Great. Battery packed.
Go hire yourself a tradie. So with this, guys, the next one, number 18, don't be a victim, right? Like, you have to understand shit is going to happen. You can't blame. You can't make excuses. You can't justify
why you aren't winning.
It doesn't fix anything, right? You got to simply look at the issue and understand that it's an obstacle and it's going to take responsibility. And you have to take responsibility for your actions. You have to own your day. You have to be accountable. You have to follow through. I think, you know, business is, like, anyone that says business isn't tough, you know, they are lying to you, right? But, you know, you choose your tough. Like, having a job is tough as well, right? Like, you get to decide you're tough, and that's completely fine. And when I say tough, it means it's there's pressure, okay? And for you as a business owner, you need to embrace the tough, lean into the resistance, understand that, you know, shit is going to happen. And what does the hero's version of you do in this situation? You step up to the plate and you just keep swinging. You swing for the fences, right? Sometimes you miss. And if you miss, then you go, okay, you recalibrate what went wrong, okay?
But also, everyone misses.
They do.
Like, if they say they don't miss, they're lying. 100%, or they're not swinging hard enough. They're not out on the plate enough. Like, it's really easy to go and only swing for the easy shots.
Yeah, and it's like, also, you're going to get shit. Like, people are going to talk bad about you. There's going to be haters, but most of those people are sitting in the grandstand, the right? They're seeing the grandstand, and they're coming at you, heckling at you from the sidelines. But you're the one on the field. You're playing the game. They're too afraid to even play the game. So never take hate from people who aren't going further than you, because, you know, people above you never hate on you. It's only the people below you. And I think with this, guys, if you step up, and a lot of the time when you're a victim, it's very easy, when you play the victim role in your life, and some of us play different roles in different areas of our lives, and sometimes we can slip into a victim mentality, especially with everything that's going on in the world. You have to go, great, what is the ownership I can take around this? You know, what is the responsibility I can take around this? What are the actions I can take around this? And then how can I move into the hero's version of me? And if you go, I don't know what to do, it's like, well, you truly do. You truly do know what to do. So if you go to yourself and you look at yourself, you project out, you know, future pace. This is like future pacing. You see yourself 1 year from now, that person, you know, has 50 more members, or that person has 100 more members. They went through what you're currently going through. They, you know, they fell, they leaned in, you know, they've got their members experience up, all the rest of it. What would they tell you that you need to do today? Like, ask the future version of you, because if you tap into yourself with better quality questions, you're going to start to get better quality answers from your own brain, because that would you know what they'd tell you? They'd be like, you know, pull up your big boy pants. And they were like, what are you facing right now? Member experience problem? Why? Someone, you know, didn't like something? Okay, you know what you need to do? You need to pick up the phone. You need to get that member. You need to get them down. You need to have a crucial conversation. You need to take responsibility and ownership. You need to step up and move forward. The leadership problem, you have the crucial conversation. Most of it just comes down to do the uncomfortable thing right now. The faster you do the uncomfortable thing, the faster you're going to move forward in business. The faster, like, and if you don't do it, the more, you longer you put it off, the bigger it gets. The more you're holding on to that emotion until you do it. So overcome the hardest shit you possibly can. And once you get over that, you feel unstoppable. You're like, holy shit, I've built this thing up to being something that was bigger than it was, and I'm moving past it, and I started to get momentum, and I'm in motion again. So don't be a victim. Then the next one is, you want to find people playing, this is number 19, find people playing at a higher level than you, get into their circle, model their behaviors and actions, because success leaves clues. You know, so search out their successes, search out their failures, understand where they went wrong, and it will literally time collapse your success. So something that would have taken you 3 years, it's going to take you 1 year. Something that takes you 5 years, it takes you 2 years. You're actually time collapsing your future success by modeling the behaviors that those people you're around start to lift you up. And all of a sudden, you're also in a new, you're in a different area, different comfort zone. You start to get pulled further forward, which is amazing, because you are the sum of the five people. If you start moving forward because you are in that sum of the five people, it starts to lift you up. And I think that's the next thing you need to do.
I think you always, I love it when you're saying that you want to be the dumbest person in the room, because I think a lot of people are afraid to walk into rooms they're not the smartest person in, when really that's the most exciting room to be in, because then all the opportunities, all the information, every conversation you have is going to force you to move forward. It's going to open your eyes to things that perhaps you never considered. So rather than avoiding those rooms, try and find those rooms. And I think a lot of that comes down to coaching. It comes down to networking. It comes down to, and I'm not talking about necessarily, you know, your breakfast, local business breakfast meeting things. Oh. I mean, find the people who are doing things in your arena or have achieved something you want to go and achieve, and try and find the room they're in, or try and find the people that are in a room with them, and then work your way up. It's kind of a little bit like an old school social climbing. Social climbing.
But like 100%. And guys, like, you want to look
quicker than reading a book.
This person, I've just got a gym and it's just struggling. This person has two gyms. Okay, what I'm going to do is, can I buy you a coffee? Can I buy you lunch? Can I buy you dinner? Can you coach me? Whatever it is.
Can I pay $100 for a phone call?
Yeah, like, whatever it is. Like, you want to have conversations with people who have done what you want to do. And if you do that and you're like, okay, what happened at this point? What happened? Like, you want to drive some answers out of them as well. And then all of a sudden, you've the easiest way to run on the sand at the beach is in the footprints of someone who's run before you, because the sand has already been impacted. And that's the same in business. The fastest way to run is to run in the footsteps of someone else who's run just ahead of you. Not too far ahead, but just ahead of you. And when you're looking at this, guys, you're running in their footprints. You start to model their behaviors. You start to model their mindset. You start to model their actions, their discipline. And all of a sudden, you don't become them, but you become the person, essentially, in the business sense that they become. And you start to move forward in a dramatic pace. And I think if you aren't around them, you do then model the people's behaviors you are around. And, you know, if they aren't people that have the same dreams as you, then you might not ever, or it's going to be more resistance for you to achieve your dreams. It's going to be harder. And I think we want to try and make it as easy as possible, right? And to make it as easy as possible, you just get in a room with people who are achieving the stuff that you want to achieve. And then you start to achieve it, you know, pretty much by osmosis.
But I think that's, you know, it leads so well into the next point, where it is about leaving ego at the door, because a lot of people are too scared to reach out to people who perhaps are that one step, because they're ashamed of the fact that perhaps their first gym isn't working and this person has two gyms working. But really, that's exactly what you need. You need to have the humility to admit that you've made mistakes and try and fix them, because whatever you're doing now isn't working. So try and open your mind to the other alternatives and go, well, do you know what? This guy's probably going to give me 10 ideas or 10 pieces of feedback. and maybe three of them will be useful, but those three might be the thing that are the turning points. One of them might be the turning point. You might have an hour conversation and get one good piece of information, but that was worth it because that might be the thing that opens your mind to something new. And that, I think, is accepting when you're...
100%. But ego comes in so many different ways, right? Ego with your growth to ask those questions. Ego with your staff to make you to go, what can I learn from them? Not just me forcing things. And ego when you're having a crucial conversation, seeing things from another person's perspective and having the humility that you might be wrong sometimes. Liv's never wrong, though, by the way, guys, just so you understand.
I know, but everyone who's married understands that wives globally are perfect in every way and possibly always right. And if they're wrong, it's because it was your idea first.
Exactly. And I think it's, but the humility is so crucial. You must be, a confident and humble person. So like you're confident in the fact that you are an unstoppable human being and you will get
weakness.
It done.
It's not mistaken for weakness. No, you don't accept everything. It's just.
You have the humility to open up and take off your blinkers to look at things from both sides of the coin and then still make the decision that you want to make. Now you've gathered other opinions.
It's respect. Respect for other people's experiences, their opinions, their viewpoint, their education, and understanding that perhaps they're coming from a different angle. And I think it does come out down to respect, ultimately. If you don't respect someone, it's very hard to look at their point of view.
This is very true. Next one. Okay. We're coming in the home stretch right now. We are coming up to 21.
We're getting more existential as we go.
Yeah, we are. I think maybe I was when I was writing this list. It was
getting
like
emotional. at 23, because 24 just would have been
too much.
So
when we're looking at this guy's number 21, leave people better than you found them. Give energy, don't take it. And I think,
some days this is hard.
It is. It is hard, right? But you have to understand, it's like it comes down to your character traits. You have to bite your tongue sometimes. You have to, give more of your energy than you even have to give sometimes.
Looking at, I think, sometimes too, at the bigger picture, I think a lot of this comes down to when people get trapped in the what is happening in this 30 seconds right now. And instead of looking at what the bigger thing is that they're trying to achieve, instead of, it's the battle and the war.
Yeah.
You know?
The art of war.
Yeah. Well, you win the battle, but you lose the war. Is it worth it?
Exactly. So, you don't have to win every conversation.
No.
You don't have to, you don't. You have to make other people feel like they win the conversation sometimes, right? Because that is the power of influence and persuasion. You also have to, when I say leave people better, it's like every conversation, like you're coming into this conversation with more energy than them. You want to help them leave with more energy. And all of a sudden, you're just giving yourself, but also, the best way to receive is to give.
Yeah.
So it's not like we were talking before about the hard conversations, but there's also the good conversations, right? You start to fire each other up. You bounce off each other. You
like
start
our
to
team training sessions. I love it.
So and you start to feel good, right? And if your goal is to make someone else feel great and their goal is to make you feel great, and this is one of the philosophies inside your business, then you just are pumping each other up and you guys are, really rocking and rolling. I think this is such a crucial thing.
People feed off energy, right? If you've got great energy, people lift to the higher energy and you want to be that as much as possible in everything that you do in business. And I think particularly in a year like this where I think a lot of people are tired because they probably have had to deliver that energy no matter what uncertainty was being presented to them, and you need to be rewarded. Like, you should reward yourself for that. You should give yourself a pat on the back and go, I've showed up, I've been great, and now I'm going to share that energy with other people because they all need it too because they're going through their own struggles, right?
I think with this, guys, I think one of the laws of John Maxwell's laws of leadership, it sort of comes to mind, right? It's the law of magnetism. You attract what you give. So if you're giving that positive energy out to the world, like, it's going to come back like a boomerang, smack you straight in the face. Sometimes it takes a bit longer, but it'll eventually smack you back in the face, guys. So guys, just going to give it out, and that law of magnetism will kick in and you'll get positive energy coming back at you.
What's the worst that could happen if you're just nice to people?
Oh, exactly. Nothing, right? Just be kind.
People remember how you make them feel, not what you say.
Number 22. When you grow a team, hire on values not on experience. Mm-hmm. You can give someone experience, but it's very hard to shift someone's value structure. Mm-hmm. Now, like you can hire on experience and values. Normally when I say to people, it's like, if you find someone with an amazing value set and an amazing experience set, like you want to try and grab hold of them, they're more of the unicorn. If you find someone with a slightly egotistical value set, sometimes they might have high experience. It's going to be very hard to pull them in on your value system. So all the experience in the world, that was like one bad apple, essentially creates the whole rotten bunch. So like when we look at this team, with experience, if you believe in yourself, you have a good education pathway. If you find someone who has value set is on point, you just need an education pathway to try and grow them inside your business, make them rocking and rolling. And like, I think that's a couple of the crucial things. Not everyone has to be the best at something, but you can make them the best at something if they have the right mental attitude. And like that's what you all want. You want people who want to be there, not people who think they're better than being there.
And your members, like the whole experience around that is that community. And if they're not part of that community, then it's very short term, one way or the other. It's really not going to work out long term.
No. So guys, but to hire on values, you actually have to have values. So if you don't have values for your business, create some values and also character traits that your business sort of rolls around, whether it be honesty, respect, integrity, all that sort of jazz. Yeah. And a good value structure as well, that's the values that your business does business by.
And then trust your gut, because I think a lot of business owners question themselves and you have to reflect on yourself as a leader. And whether or not you're giving enough or educating enough or giving enough time, if you've communicated your values enough, if you've created the flow charts that make doing their job easy, if you've done your bit. But I think ultimately you've got to trust your gut and, the old adage, you hire slow, fire fast. Mm-hmm. Don't hold on to someone because you don't want to go back into the gym, for example, or it's so much better to take a small step backwards than it is to be dragged back by your hair.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. Last one, number 23, no man or woman is an island. You got to find someone unique you can be vulnerable with, guys. You can't hold all of the heartaches, all the frustrations in. You need to let it go or it will eat you up. So, for me, I'm very lucky that I have Olivia, who is sitting right next to me. Mm-hmm. She gets the very best version of me, but she also gets the tired version of me at times and somewhat frustrated version of me. And I think that's one of the biggest, even though sometimes she slumps in her chair and all the rest of
my chair. These chairs are so uncomfy.
You got to sit up. But when you're looking at this team, you need to find someone that you can be direct with and tell them when they're slumping. You need to find someone that you can tell them when you had a hard day and they also explain why, and they're going to listen to you. And it's not always, when someone's being vulnerable with you, you actually giving the answer. Sometimes it's just being there to listen.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for a male not to try and fix a solution.
We want to try and provide
The answer for our partners. I think that's just solve a male thing. We want to solve problems. We want to make sure that your life, if you have a problem, I want to remove it, because that's what's my job as a male that I want to do for you. So sometimes it's hard for me to listen.
This is why you're upset I just bring cookies.
Exactly. it's just the way to my heart is through my stomach. But you have to have someone that you can be vulnerable with. If you don't, find that person or find that mentor that you can go, I'm having it tough. And they can sort of lift you up. They can dust you off and they can set you back on your path to, remind you. They'll remind you who you are. Yeah, they'll remind you how great you are. They'll remind you how unstoppable you are. They'll remind you of all the great rather than just that one thing that's currently frustrating you. Because sometimes we focus on the one thing rather than not many things that are so good. And that one thing can really tear us up. So being vulnerable, having someone to be vulnerable with is the number 23, because that will drive you forward.
It will. And where your focus goes, your energy goes. So, your energy flows. Mm. And I think that's so important. Exactly what you just said is that it's so easy to get, fixated on the one thing that isn't going right when you might have so many other things going amazingly well. And I think that really comes down to gratitude and, looking at ways to bookend your day or ways to make gratitude a habit, because, we've said it 100,000 times, you know, gratitude and fear or gratitude and sadness can't live in the same space. So if you feel gratitude, everything else will melt away because immediately you're focusing on the great things, the things that make you happy, the things that make you feel successful. And in turn, that gives you the energy to move forward on whatever it is that may be holding you back momentarily. But all of a sudden, it doesn't seem so big.
100. So with this, guys, that is part two, the 23 things I wish I knew before I opened 20 gyms. And guys, if you do want, like I said, if you do want to grow your business, if you do want to have a call with us, you want to have a chat and go, hey, how can I grow my business by 10K over the next 90 days? How can I get those next 30 clients? Go to fitproformula.com, book a call, happy to have a chat, help you out and give you at least, whether we do coaching or not, give you a roadmap to success. You can take that roadmap, navigate yourself, or you can have us talking in your ear like Google Maps, just slightly less annoying. We can tell you the obstacles you're going to face. We can tell you how to get around the detours. We can make sure you go on the fastest route, sometimes with tolls. You can start to get there as fast as you possibly can because, guys, you want to time collapse your success. You want to get there as quick as you can. So it's fitproformula.com. Guys, if you want to follow me on Instagram, that's Travis Jones Entrepreneur. So at Travis Jones Entrepreneur. If you want to follow Liv, that is the_Liv_Jones. And that is it, the Travis Jones Show for today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your journey.
See you guys.